Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
So myectomy is a procedure that really started with the initial description of HCM going back to the NIH days in the 1960s.
Today, Drs. Merritt and Rowan join the podcast to discuss evolving strategies in obstructive hypertrophic cardiomyopathy management in this PureDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative supporters.
Hello, I am Dr. Martin Marin, Director of the Hypertrophic Cardiomyopathy Center at Lahey Hospital and Medical Center and Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of Massachusetts School of Medicine.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ethan Rowan, Co-Director of the Hypertrophic Cardiomyopathy Center at Lahey Hospital and Medical Center, and Associate Professor of Medicine at UMass School of Medicine.
So Ethan, as always, it's great to be with you and talking about HCM. And so let's get into another topic here that I think is really important. We've talked a lot about the incredible emergence of novel drug therapy to treat symptomatic obstructive HCM. That's the cardiac myosin inhibitors, of course, mavacamten first in man, and then more recently approved aficamten. So we've got two drug options for that. I think you took us very nicely through what the efficacy and safety for those drugs are, and how they've kind of helped to meet an unmet need in drug therapy for symptomatic obstructive HCM. Also, we've had invasive options as well for that group of patients. So what we've called septal reduction therapy, SRT, which is comprised of really two options: surgical myectomy, and then the percutaneous approach with alcohol septal ablation. So I think a good place to start first is, those are two procedures that have been available for patients now for many decades, for surgery, close to half a century, okay, for symptomatic obstructive HCM. Just briefly tell us a little bit about, those two and how they differ first, and then we can kind of get a little bit into how then do we integrate them into the treatment algorithm at the moment.
Yeah. So myectomy is a procedure that really started with the initial description of HCM going back to the NIH days in the 1960s, where it was recognized both obstructive HCM, but also relief of obstruction with the surgical procedure would make patients feel better. And with that, it is traditionally done with the sternotomy, shave down thick heart muscle, and then the procedure has evolved to become now an extended septal myectomy, which is a more extended resection of muscle, but also being able to move the mitral valve plane more backwards, potentially shorten the anterior mitral valve leaflet, and is a pretty definitive relief of obstruction with outcome data long-term showing both that there's a durable relief of obstruction, durable symptom benefit, and also data saying that mortality after that operation is no different than the age, gender match general population. It's a really powerful therapy. Alcohol septal ablation, now been around for almost 40 years. Percutaneous treatment, an invasive interventional cardiologist injects alcohol into the first septal perforator. And with that, the septal muscle shrinks down to relieve obstruction as well. And with good outcomes for many patients after alcohol septal ablation.
Yeah, that's great. So essentially, I think if we kind of unpack that just for one more minute, I think that both of those procedures are effective, highly effective, because of their ability to alter the anatomy, right? The anatomy, the outflow tract, the mitral valve, in a definitive way, right? Heart muscle doesn't grow back. So these are procedures that are altering the anatomy in a definitive way. With surgery, it's under direct visualization with the surgeon, able to reconstruct really the entire outflow tract and LV in a way that really provides definitive and comprehensive relief of obstruction, okay? And I think that you summarized it well. I mean, I think if you put the experience together for both surgery, you know, and alcohol ablation, the ability to lower gradient to make patients, again, feel better, makes these are a really high benefit, low risk procedures. So let's just talk about that for a minute, because that's important. We say low risk, of course, they're invasive procedures, both surgery and alcohol ablation. And I think one of the most important messages that we've learned from these procedures over the years, too, is that they need to be done, both of them, surgical myectomy and alcohol ablation, really should be done to get the optimal outcomes you want for your patient in high volume, experienced operator centers. You would agree?
Completely. Mortality risk when these procedures are done in the high volume centers should be well under 1% for both of these
right.
procedures.
So low.
Very low.
Yeah, that's low.
But when you look at inexperienced centers, your mortality risk can be almost tenfold higher when done with an inexperienced scenario. So experience really is key.
Totally key. And when done in high volume experience centers, you're looking at, as you just said, very low risk and with high efficacy. So if that's the case, then, you know, high efficacy, low risk for both surgical myectomy and alcohol ablation, let's talk about how we sort of look at those two options then in the current contemporary sort of treatment approach to symptomatic obstructive HCM. Kind of fall back a little bit, starting that conversation off with sort of the guidelines for that right now. And I think the last guidelines, you know, talking about HCM, you know, for symptomatic obstructive HCM patients that you may be seeing in your clinic, generally the first line therapy there, again, as you talked about earlier, is beta blocker, calcium channel blocker, maybe selectively a drug called disopyramide. And then if patients don't respond to that, they continue to have symptoms, then at that point, they sort of, there's two options, I think, in a way. They can move forward to the cardiac myosin inhibitor option, drug therapy, or invasive option with SRT, myectomy or alcohol ablation. I think that's generally the construct that we're working with in terms of how we're integrating those two procedures into the current algorithm. So if that's the case, then, you know, who might at this point be the kind of patient or patients that you would consider perhaps for SRT option, either rather than CMI or in place of CMI?
You know, I think one of the key here is patient preference. You know, you have appropriately patients who are really going to be drawn to a new medication. And then you have other patients who might be drawn more for a one-and-done approach, which can be the septal reduction therapy, meaning not being on a lifelong medication, having the procedure done, feeling better, and not having those frequent follow-up durations that we spoke about for the REMS. And so I think a lot here has to go to what the patient's thought is for these different options.
Great. So let's just, before we conclude, maybe kind of focus for a second again on sort of summarizing those really important points that you just put out there for sort of how to think about the approach to symptomatic obstructive HCM patient and those that don't get that response that we need and making them feel better, the patients feel better with beta blocker or calcium channel blocker. And I think you had mentioned that at that point, one consideration is that there are some patients that really put a lot of emphasis on what you've called a one and done, which means, as you said, the option of surgical myectomy or alcohol ablation could be considered a one and done because it's definitive as a one-time procedure. Obviously, patients have to accept a little bit of risk there, but the one and done means that they may be able to, because they get the relief of the gradient with those procedures, they can come off drug therapy, and then they don't really have to be confined, of course, to the restrictions of being on a drug in general, but also the monitoring that may have to come with the cardiac myosin inhibitor option. And for some patients, that really is appealing. I think you and I have seen those patients. There are certainly lots that gravitate still to that idea. And so that's an important point. And then I think number two is that, and again, you of course mentioned this, but there are patients that get started on a cardiac myosin inhibitor, for example, and they just don't quite get as much benefit as they had hoped, right? I would say not none, but suboptimal perhaps. And those are patients that you may want to consider. Would you agree?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. There's, you know, 15 to 25% of patients starting on a myosin inhibitor might not have the gradient reduction and or symptom reduction that we're looking for. And then that opens up the candidacy for septal reduction therapy as well for those individuals.
Yeah, and I'll expand on that one point too. There are patients, for example, that do get a lot of benefit but with one of the myosin inhibitors, but they say at some point during that treatment, you know what, I prefer not to be on a drug long term. I can see how much better I can feel with relief of the gradient with a drug. Maybe I'll transition to an invasive option at that point.
Absolutely.
Right. And then the last thing to consider there too, well, obviously there are some patients, you know, when we're talking about, you know, this therapy globally, there's some patients that may not have access to cardiac myosin inhibitor drug therapy, obviously too, or there may be some constraints related to the cost as well. And then the last is that there are some patients, too, that have other coexistent cardiac lesions that may be best addressed in the setting of symptomatic obstructive HCM with an invasive option where those other lesions can be treated where they may not be able to with drug. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with an aging population with HCM, we're seeing more patients who have concurrent lesions like coronary artery disease or aortic stenosis, which would then be addressed with surgical myectomy and concurrent aortic valve replacement or CABG. Right. So really necessitating a surgical approach in those patients.
Okay, great. Well, I think that's really well said. I think, you know, we got to put all this in perspective and say that we've got a lot of great options today for patients with symptomatic obstructive HCM to get those patients to feel better, function better. We've got great new drugs. We've got great invasive options too. And I think that is probably the most important message as well. And I want to just thank you for your insights and time today. And I think we're at our time now. And again, thank you very much for all that you did in terms of contributing today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Marty.
And thank you to our audience as well for watching. We appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's today's special spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PureDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PureDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PureDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup or just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Marin and Rowan. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.